What a week for First Baptist Church of West. What a time, what a month for the First Baptist Church of West. With the trip to Honduras, with the spring breakers coming in, even with the group coming in today, the rally last night, with the media coverage that we got, with the Dallas stations and all that. What a message that our church has been putting out, that God is good and West is blessed. What a week. What a time. This today, Brother John was planning to preach about the story of the paralytic, as Mary was talking about, and how fitting this story is, especially in this time, and what's happening around here. If you can, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're going to be starting in verse 1 right here. We're going to go through verse 12. So it says there in verse 1, and again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. So let's set the scene a little bit. First, we're believing that he actually came to Peter's house. And of course, at this point in Jesus' ministry, people were finding out what was going on. They were hearing what he could do. The fact that he could heal people, and he was doing some amazing things. Word got out. People knew what he could do. And so he came in, and of course, going into Peter's hometown and walking into Peter, of course, he was Peter being a gracious host brought him in. Well, of course, people came in to follow. They came in to see Jesus, the man they heard about, the man who heals lepers, the man who heals the blind. They came in to see him. And so people started to gather. And of course, Jesus being Jesus, he gets up and begins to speak and talk. And so the crowd is there. We saw that. We experienced a little bit of that in Honduras. We talked a little bit about this last week, how the folks have never seen, they've heard about North Americans. They've heard about people from the United States, but they've never seen them. And so when they heard that we were at the pastor's house, they began to flock there. They began to gather around us just to watch. It was very awkward because we're eating our peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I'm sitting there going, yay. And they're sitting around going, he don't look like us. They're looking at us in awe. They've never seen us. They've never heard us. They wanted to see, what does a North American look like? What does a person from the United States look like? And so they begin to gather around us, and that's what's happening here. Jesus has made it there. He's there at the house. People are beginning to gather and see what's going on. So the house was full. They couldn't get in. No one else could get in through the front door. So Jesus began to preach the word. Verse 3, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Hang on a second. Let's go back on this real quick. So there's a boy who couldn't walk. Okay? He's paralyzed. He's got four friends. Now they're hearing that Jesus, the one who is healing and doing all these miracles and amazing things, is coming to town. And so their thought is, hey, we got a buddy that he can help. They're like, wait a minute, let's take him to Jesus. Have you not heard? See, today's world, we're like, hey, Twitter, hey, Jesus is coming to town. Retweet. For the old folks, that's it's a social media. I'm sorry. I'm a youth minister. That's how we speak. And so they heard that he was coming. And these four boys said, but we've got this friend here that needs help. So what'd they do? They went and grabbed him. Now, let's think about this for a minute. When people in those days were afflicted by certain things like being paralyzed or certain issues and health issues, leprosy and stuff like that, they thought that was a sin in their life. They thought that was sin, that God was afflicting them because of that. And so this boy is laying there thinking he's got this sin in his life, and that's why he is paralyzed. That's why he is the way he is. And so he's sitting there, and his friends walk up and say, hey, man, let's go see Jesus. Now, when I read about, when I read stories like this, I'm a very visual person. And
I like to play it in my head. It's just the way it works, the ADD. And so I can see this boy going, no, ain't happening. And they're saying, let's go see Jesus. Let's go see the man. And he's still like, no. So they pick him up and they're now, and you got to remember, they've got to be excited. I mean, they're carrying this boy to go see Jesus. And so they pick him up. And they're carrying along. Now, the Bible says he had a bed, so he's laying on something. So they're all running along going, we're going to see Jesus. They're going to go see Jesus. And can you imagine the joy that they had when they were going to take their friend to go see Jesus? Can you imagine that? Think about that for a second. They knew that man had the power. That man had the power to heal their friend. And so the joy that they had as they're picking up and as they're running along to take him to go see Jesus. And so when they get to that house, they see that the house is full of people. People were here to see and watch what's going on. And so when they get in there, they realize, we can't go through the front door. But they're determined. This is why I think they're excited to go see Jesus. Because they don't go, oh, place is full. We can't get in. Sorry. Sorry, buddy. We tried. They didn't head back home. What they do, they went around. Think about this, guys. Let's play it right ahead. They went around in common in times then. It was real common to have a ladder next to the house. Many times the house roofs were made of straw and mud. And so it's real common to keep a ladder next to the house because when it rained, there might be leaks and stuff like that to fix. So that was a very common thing. And so when they came around, they went around to the ladder and got up on the roof. Now, think about this. You've got Jesus in your house. He is preaching the word. You're like, yeah. You got all your friends and family and the folks from the town to come in and hear Jesus, and you're thinking, yeah, Jesus is right here in my house. He's out here preaching the word. And then you hear stuff on the roof, you're like, huh, we're good. And the next thing you know, you start seeing stuff. And again, I'm a very visual person. And so as Jesus is speaking, and you know, he's preaching the word and talking about his Father and Jesus stuff. And so he's here, and stuff had to have started falling. Mud had to have started falling. Straw had to have started falling. And so he's sitting there, and stuff is falling as they're digging through the guy's roof. So I can't, if this truly is Peter's house, and we know the character of Peter, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, his personality was go, do. Am I right? His personality was go and do. And so can you imagine he's sitting there going, yeah, Jesus, you're the man, you're my boy. And then on the next you know, they've got stuff falling down from the ceiling. I can't imagine what Peter was thinking. What is going on? Or, Jesus, man, you're rocking it. My roof's coming down, you know? And so as they're sitting there and the roof's coming down, they feel there's a hole in the roof. There's a hole in the roof. You're thinking, oh, my goodness. And then they begin to lower their friend down from the roof to Jesus. They were determined to take their friend to see Jesus. Now, you being in the crowd, if a hole opens up here and people start falling in, I'm going to freak out. I just want y'all to know that. If stuff starts happening and someone starts getting lower from the roof, I'll be like, whoa, this is cool. So they begin to lower him down to the ground. That's how determined these boys were. They knew Jesus had the saving power to help their friend. They knew. Without a shadow of a doubt, or they would not have climbed the guy's roof. Now remember, the boy is paralyzed. How did they get him up the ladder? They were determined. They were determined to take him up that ladder, take him over that roof, dig that hole, and drop him down because they knew Jesus could save them. They knew Jesus could save them. When Jesus, verse 5, I'm sorry guys, I'm getting excited now. Hang on. When, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. He says, son, your sins are forgiven you.
Hang on. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He didn't look down at the paralytic and say, "Yeah, it's bad. You're good, buddy. I got you." He looked up at those boys, and I can't imagine. They were down there, and you know they had to have been down there, and they've got this hole, and you know they're looking, and they're trying to look at Jesus, and they're looking at going on and going, "Fix my friend. Fix my friend, because I know you can. I know you can." And so he looks up at them and sees the faith that these boys did. He saw how what they went through and knew the faith and the healing power that Jesus had. They knew that. And so when Jesus looked at them and saw their faith, their friend was healed. Are you hearing me, church family? Oftentimes, we've got people in our lives, we're like, "I tried. All right? Tried." You got friends, family. You've told them over and over again about Jesus and the healing power that Jesus has. I tried. If they're not going to get it, it's on them. We don't give up. We don't surrender. We keep moving forward. You see, when this explosion happened here in the West, if we would have stopped and said, "Ooh, this is bad, y'all. This is bad. What would have happened?" But no, we immediately came together and said, "God is bigger than all of this." We knew he had the healing power to come through and save us. We knew he would work through people like this group right here from Arkansas who will come through and be the hands and feet of God. We knew that was going to happen because God has that saving grace. He sends friends like Arkansas and the rest of the 2,000 plus volunteers who have come through just our church alone to come and minister to our community. You see, after the explosion, we were that paralytic. We were knocked down. But people began to gather. Brother John is speaking about that today in Jacksonville. People began to gather. We had so many volunteers come in, so many first responders show up that we were turning them away. We were turning fire trucks, "Nope, we don't need you," away. Those were our friends who picked us up and carried us on and still continue to do that. Why? Because of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior. There have been many things happen, many things that we can't explain. It's because of the power of our Lord and Jesus Savior. See what I'm saying, church family? Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. So when you see that person, you're just beating your head against the wall. Why? Why won't you get it? And trust me, I'm a student minister. All right? It's like herding cats sometimes. See, you have 2 teenagers. I got 60. And there's times I will go, just get it. Just get it. Do you not hear what I'm telling you? Jesus saves. Just get it. Just get it. But if I was to go, "Just get it," and they don't get it, and go, "Well, I tried. It's on you now, God." Nah, because he put me there in that place to carry that bed over to put him at the feet of God. Now, I don't have that saving grace. I understand that. Those friends did not save or heal their friend. But they were the hands and feet of God that brought them to the feet of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying, church family? They were the hands and feet of God that brought them to the feet of Jesus. Jesus was the saving power here. He was the forgiving, and he was the healer. They didn't give up. Don't ever give up. Keep moving forward. So, of course, when Jesus said, "Son," and saw their faith, mud in their fingernails, mud on their face. Their clothes were dirty. Just smile. He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Verse 6, and then, of course, you've got those in the crowd. And some of the scribes are sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak such blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? They didn't get it. But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? But you, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. So he's sitting there going, you don't get it. You don't get it. See, Jesus could have said, gotcha, see you later. He didn't have to say anything. He could have looked at the boy and go, yeah. The boy would have got up and walked off. But he used this as an opportunity to go, you still don't get it. How many times do I need to do this for you to get it? How many times do I need to heal someone of a sickness? How many times do I need to stand up? How many times do I need to spit on the ground, make that in the mud, put it in someone's eye, and go wash it out and you'll be able to see? How many times do I need to do that before you get it? They just could not get it. And so what does Jesus do? He says his peace to them because he knows their heart is hard. Their heart is hard. And he knows their heart is hard. So what does he do? He turns to the boy, and he said to the paralytic, and now I'm at verse 11, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. I always find it interesting, you know, the boy has never been able to walk before. So he didn't say, get up and take off. He goes, hey, get up, and by the way, take your bed out of his house too. Come on now. You know, he tells him to take his bed with him. I always thought that was interesting. He said, so arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Now, here is the kicker, guys. And this is the point here that I found. It's just amazing. Verse 12, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. Those four boys grabbed on their friend. They carried him to a house. They ran into a roadblock. They ran into an obstacle. And they said, this is not going to defeat us. This is not going to stop us. So what they do, they went to a ladder, carried their friend up onto a roof, got over, dug a hole, dropped it down in front of Jesus. Jesus looked at their friend and said, wow. Looks at the boy and says, your sins are forgiven. The boy arose, took up his bed, and walked out. Hear me on this. He became a believer that day. He became a believer that day. You know why? Because he arose. He got up. He didn't sit there going, yeah, right, man. Can someone get me out of here? I can't walk. Can someone help me out? No, he got up. He stood up. He believed that Jesus could save him of this. He knew that Jesus had the healing power, and so he stood up. He became a believer that day. And can you imagine the crowd? But they knew who this boy was. They knew who he was. They knew all about him. It's a village. They know. And so can you imagine what they saw? What they saw when they saw this boy stand up for the first time? And then take up his bed and go, see y'all, start walking out. Can you imagine that? The joy. Did they break out in applause? Did they go, yeah, you're a man? Did they sit there and go, whoa. Can you imagine that? Makes you wonder how many more believers were there that night when they saw that boy arise. See, again, the mindset was sin. Sin has afflicted this boy. Sin has afflicted this boy. Why? That's why he couldn't walk. So when he stood up, when Jesus said, I forgive your sins, because he has that power. And when he stood up, can you imagine the people in there going, whoa. Whoa. Talk about an altar call. Stood up and walked out. They learned that moment that Jesus has the power to forgive those sins. They learned at that moment that Jesus could heal the sick. They became, you can only hope, many became believers that day. And you look right here, look what it says right here. We know they did, because look right here. It says, immediately he rose, took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Glorified God. They didn't go, whoa. They were like, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. They gave God the glory. They gave God the glory. Do you hear what I'm telling you, folks? Whatever's going on in your life, whatever it is, let us be your cupbearers. Let us be the ones to pick up and carry you there. Let us be the ones to lift you up. Understand that knowing that at the feet of Jesus is where the saving power is. So whatever affliction is in your life, whatever sin that you may be carrying today, whatever is going on in your life, understand this and hear me if you don't hear anything else tonight or today, this morning. I'm still in the rally last night. Jesus has the healing power. All you got to do is believe in him and your sins are forgiven. Do you hear me? All you have to do is believe. Believe that he has the power to forgive your sins. Believe that he is the healer, the master physician, the one and only who can make that man walk, knowing that your sins are forgiven. He is here to do that. So whatever's going on in your life, know that he has the healing power. Do I need to say it again? To know that Jesus Christ, no matter what's going on in your life, your sins are forgiven. Take up, stand up, carry your cot, rise up, carry your cot, and walk out. Because he has the healing power. I said it like 5 times now. Y'all getting it? He has the healing power. Stand up and go. And go tell everybody about that healing power, by the way. Glorify God in those times. You can't go wrong. So, because I'm in a Baptist church, I need to make sure I got some points here. So hang on, let's see. First, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. When you've got those friends and that family in your life, don't ever give up. And we all can think of somebody right now. We can all think of someone right now. I can think like 5. Actually, I can think about 25 in the youth group of it. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Keep pushing. Don't let those obstacles stop you from carrying that friend to that cross. Second, whatever sin is in your life, whatever is going on, whatever is happening, understand that you can lay it at the cross. Lay it at the foot, at the feet of Jesus, because he has that healing power. This is not brand new news. Lay it at the feet. Don't carry that burden. Drop it. Stand up and walk out and go praise God. Go praise God. You can't go wrong. Those boys never gave up. Ever. And because they never gave up, I wonder how many people were saved. I wonder how many people were saved that night. Because of those 4 boys doing what they did, the fact that they were so determined to take their friend, drop them through that roof, so that Jesus could do what Jesus does, save people. How many people went, that's my Jesus? How many people were saved that night? Don't ever give up. Drop it at the cross. Drop it at the cross. Father, right now, we know that you're here, God. We call upon your Holy Spirit, Father. Father, to talk to us and speak to us. Father, whoever's broken in here, God, I pray that you're speaking to their hearts right now, God. And whatever sin people may be carrying, whatever burden that may be there, God, I pray that you're working on their hearts right now, Father. Father, we know that you have the healing power. We can see it over and over again in your word, God. So we know that you have that power to do that, God. And most importantly, God, we know that you are the one who sends that forgiveness. So we thank you for that. We thank you for that grace that you have extended to us, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you do in our lives. So speak to us now, God. Speak to us now. Amen.
Listen, folks. If you don't do anything tonight, do this. Or this morning, do this. Take this time now. We've got plenty of time. Plenty of time. Take this time now. Spend some time reflecting, thinking about what's going on in your life. What are you carrying right now? What's happening right here? So before we go out and outside those doors into that busy life and that and whatever's happening out there, take time for a second to go, you are my God. Deal with those issues now before you walk out those doors. Because I'm telling you right now, when you walk out those doors, there's going to be all kinds of stuff to start pounding away at you and start chipping away at you. So let's deal with it now before we walk out those doors. Let's deal with it now before we walk out those doors. Jesus has the saving power. So let's use it.